about makerspaces when I first started here in the library. They came from the adult community where people wanted to get together and use tools but couldn't afford them. So they would go to a makerspace where they belonged by membership, would use the tools that are purchased there and sort of rent them. Plus they have the collaboration of all the mentors, the people who are working in that makerspace who can contribute to their work. So a lot of startup companies are happening like that now. Now we want to bring this down into schools. We want students to think this way, to think about making, not just have learning coming at them, but actually having making as part of their everyday experience at school. So they have a problem, they can do the research on the internet, knowledge is everywhere now, take that knowledge and turn it into deeper thinking by making with it and having foundation skills about making and then designing their own prototypes and coming to learn about how to be an entrepreneur.
So this is engaging students in the actual creation of the pieces, the things that they're working on.
They're inventors. They're innovative thinkers within that. It's a flexible learning space. It's truly that notion of hands-on learning. And as they work through the problem and they'll learn from their mistakes or errors, or they learn as they go to that next level. And I think the sweet part of the maker movement is not only about the individual as they work through hypothesizing, working through the steps, but also learning with and from each other and having those discussions across the table about, well, how did that work? Or why did you use that piece? And maybe I'll try that piece now. So there's a sense of going deeper with it. But truly, it's a flexible learning space, but it's a place for them to invent.
So can you give me an example, either one of you, of how this might look different from what most of us would remember as learning in a classroom look like? How does this apply to a classroom?
Well, I think one of the key things is that whole notion of authentic learning. And we're really wanting our students to live through experiential learning experiences. And so that ability to bring a problem forward and then to work through, how would I design it? Let's test it out. And then actually be able to articulate why this is a better solution for it. And be thinking about the materials we use. It's very different than, reading something, responding to some questions, maybe doing some group work where it's still very theoretical and conceptual, as opposed to that hands-on, thinking about the kinds of resources I would use to create that solution or that problem.
Yeah, basic research is showing that students who come up with an authentic learning, a problem or an authentic learning experience will be way more invested in a positive outcome, and they'll be motivated to put their skills in order and make something that will solve that problem. So I think we're looking at not giving students problems, but rather having them come to you with problems and working through them. You as a teacher or an instructor being a facilitator in that form.
I think another thing too is we think about what's the skills and that's required for today's employment. Students need to be critical thinkers, problem solvers, innovative thinkers. Where within the way that we teach in our formal environments do we provide those spaces for that work? And so the makerspace provides that space where students are actually working on developing those skill sets that, we talk about as professional skills or transferable skills. And I think a really interesting piece for us in teacher education is, how do we help our teachers to facilitate that type of learning? How do we help them to think through and support students as they work through an innovative process?
And I know we've had some makerspace workshops in the Doucette Library here in the Workland School of Education. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what those look like.
Oh, those are great. I love doing them. I have a series of black chair sessions, which are 30-minute time frames. So most students can work 30 minutes out of their schedule. We put out kits, like little bits kits, or one maker element that they can work through. Our green screen one was very, very popular because they came for 30 minutes. They learned how to use the app to take great photos and integrate that into their teaching. So every kit, it has some curriculum links. It has some ways that you can embed it into your classroom. And plus, it's just the excitement of working through the kit.
And so when a student, one of our students, comes to one of these makerspace workshops, are they actually recreating that creativity in a group setting themselves so that they sort of get a sense of what a student is, of their younger students might be learning?
What we want to do really is mirror that experience that mm-hmm. they're going to have in a classroom. So we're giving it to them. Most of Workland's projects are collaborative. So I love to have a group of 5 or 6 students put a kit out. I don't say anything, they work through it, and afterwards I say, well, here, what did you see, where do you see this would fit into your classroom? And then if you are the maker person on the staff in your new school, here are some things you can take out there and use.
Wait, it's just not only kits. I mean, we use a variety mm-hmm. of materials with makers, so it could be, you know, cardboard, it could be an actual digital kit that's there as well. One of the ones we used earlier was it's a series of materials in a zip bag, and your challenge is to create a game and then turn around and teach somebody
from
that game.
From what's inside the bag.
From mm-hmm. what's inside the bag. So there were some Lego blocks and some cards and things like that. But it's really interesting as students kind of work through that process and where do you go with that. So that notion of working with wood materials or to work with a kit or just a variety of things, even thinking about, well, for this solution, what would be the materials I would need to get to that solution? Would it be a 3D printing? So this summer, we're going to put on a three-part series from the design to thinking to actually creating this piece of work. And one of the solutions might be 3D printing. So we're going to work with our colleagues over in the Digital Family Table Library to have access to a 3D printer so that if students want to have that as one of their solutions is actually to design something with a 3D printer. It's there, and we actually have the support
to physically create something.
To physically create it. And I think that's one of the sweet things that we're having happening right now is the expertise we're bringing around the table with this, so that we're tapping different groups of folks who bring that expertise, as well as then giving students the experience of working through a maker environment and then doing the debriefs. One of the other pieces of work that we've been doing for this past year is as we work through a number of these maker activities, we're actually doing some curriculum wrapper material. Mm-hmm. So we have somebody in play that actually then says, well, okay, here's how this would live in the curriculum, as opposed to just walking mm-hmm. away and going, oh, that's a really fun experience with that iPad and whatever else. But actually now thinking, well, where would this particular work fit in elementary or high school or junior high with that work as well?
Yeah, I really don't want to give students materials that they are bringing as an add-on into their classroom. I've often said to them, use this if it works within your curriculum or within your unit plan. Don't use it as an add-on. What we want to see is students using Maker as a natural outcome of their unit planning or the lesson planning.
You mentioned you've got something else coming up this fall.
Yes, so we actually have received funding from the Office of Research through one of their grant programs, and we're actually going to host an international symposium on Maker. And so we're going to bring some colleagues in, where approximately 30 will be here, where we're going to work through a day symposium work. And the outcome of that symposium is we're hoping that we'll have 3 or 4 research projects in play within an international context around Maker. And so that ability for folks to go away, work on that, and share the findings, and what mm-hmm. are we learning together within that space.